it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, as I've mentioned a couple times, we've got big Monday Night Football coming up this week. Texans, Seahawks, Astros are donezo. I don't know about y'all, but it's been kind of a dead October for you, boy.
Oh, you went on a nice old trip and treated your wifey.
That is fair. That is fair. To hell with the Astros. My wife's happy. That's a good point. That is a good point.
Silver linings, you know.
But, you know, and on, other than my wife's happiness, the Rockets look like they are going to be very, very, very fun to watch.
Let's go, Rocket.
Last night they got the win preseason game, next to last preseason game. They won. They beat the Pelicans 130-128. Big lineup was out there doing work. Amen Thompson had him a night. Jabari Smith had him a night. But, Luke, there is a what is the podcast that Carmelo's got rolling? Carmelo Anthony, NBA all-time great. Carmelo Anthony's got this podcast. Well, I want to make sure we give it its credit. I didn't jot it down in my notes here.
I think it's called 7 p.m. in Brooklyn.
Yes, sir.
7 p.m. in Brooklyn. I you could have gave me 400 guesses, and I don't think I would have hit one.
Well, he also does that one where he sips red wine the whole time. What's it called?
What, like LeBron's old podcast?
Yeah.
Isn't that LeBron's thing? Him and J.J. Redick used to just sip
What's
wine
in your
and talk
glass? That's what it's called. What's in your glass?
I'm going to tell you, boys. I mean, I know we're at a time where, especially when you're talking about all-time greats like this, they can damn near sell anything. But I tell you what, that may be one, because I know they're paying him a boatload of money to do stuff like that. I mean, he's not doing it for free.
Them Fergie Reds.
My man is literally, hey, you want to come do this podcast? You sit around, drink wine, and talk about what's in your glass? We'll pay you. I mean, there's got to be six figures in it. There's got to be. He ain't doing, I mean, that guy ain't doing that. I mean, what? It's unbelievable.
Got a nice Malbec waiting for you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, golly, man, that's unbelievable. But he does have a podcast, and he does. Obviously, he's an NBA all-time great, and the basketball brain that Carmelo has is absolutely elite. And when he says stuff like this, I can get good and turned on. Last night, by the way, Shingun played about 27 minutes. What did he end up with? Had 12 rebounds. Damn, he only had 8 points. What the hell are you doing, Shingun? What's going on here, man? Didn't have a big night last night, but he's had a good preseason. Had a really good offseason as well. I know the outlook for Shingun, the stock for Shingun. Speaking of, we're going to do stock up, stock down here in this 3 o'clock hour. But the stock is definitely up for Alpi Shingun. But the question I asked in the tease there was, do the Rockets have a legit NBA MVP candidate on this roster, not named Kevin Durant? And I don't know that I can get here, but here is Carmelo Anthony talking about who he believes is a legit MVP candidate this year.
Hey, Houston fans, I am so happy.
We talking about MVP candidates, like Shingun could be
he's gonna have a stat line that we look at at the end of the year.
Yeah, because Think about this. KD never played with a big man that you could throw the ball into and the offense could be ran through the center.
Yeah.
Somebody who could go twirl on the block, somebody who could play up top, somebody who is a similar game to Jokic. Every team you had guards. You had Russ, you had James, you had Kyrie, you had Stephen Clay. You know what I mean? Like, you had guards around you. Now you can just play on the wing, and I can just throw the ball to Shingun or play in a pick and roll with Shingun. You are in the – pick your poison. Space. Because Shingun is going to score or get fouled. I'm going to score or do something with it. Pick your poison.
I'm going to be – by the way, that was Carmelo Anthony talking about Alperen Shingun, the center for your Houston Rockets. And, look, I think the stock is obviously as high as it's ever been with Shingun. Coming off the playoffs last year, the playoffs in which – I think he took his game to another level in the playoffs, took his game to another level. Obviously, had a tremendous offseason. Got a lot of respect for how he played this offseason, how he developed this offseason. And now he's got a his Batman is Kevin Durant, or however you want to couch it, Batman or Robin. I like Şengün. I mean, Şengün's the kind of guy that I respect everything about the athlete that he is and how he approaches the game. I love the physicality. I love the energy and the effort. But I'm going to be completely honest with you, Luke. I think these boys are a little out over their skis talking MVP. I mean, where are you at with this one?
MVP might be a little much, but I do think he takes an even bigger step forward this year and is, at least I would say, in the conversation. Because I think what we've seen so far here in the preseason, just with the assist numbers, like last night the points were down, but he had 7 assists, 12 rebounds. I think he'll have a chance to have a lot more triple-doubles this year, similar to Jokic. And with Durant, and now the offense is going to be running through Alpi, evidently, in the high post, and he's going to have these higher assist numbers. He might not be on the same level as Jokic. He might not put up the same numbers, but I think he'll do that to a smaller scale that will allow him to be in the MVP conversation, especially if you consider the Rockets, you know, might be a top three team in the West. People call him, you know, baby Jokic, and I think he will be, even in terms of like the performance. I don't think he's going to put up the same numbers as Jokic, but he's going to do that similar thing on a smaller scale of can score it, can obviously get the rebounds, and now he's going to this year add the assists and the distributing aspect to his game and more of a playmaker and have the offense run through him. And for Jokic, it was his 23-year-old season, his fourth year in the league, when he was the first-time All-Star, and he won the MVP that year as well. And for Alpi, this is already his fifth year in the league, but he's turning 23 as well. So he's the same age as when Jokic really took off. And I think we could see something similar. We saw it a little bit over the summer in Euroball, where he really played a lot better and was totaling those assists and adding that part to his game. So I think this is the next phase of becoming that distributor, adding the assist to the stat sheet. And once he does that, I wouldn't bet on him being the MVP this year, but I do think he'll put himself at least in the conversation this year when you talk about top players in the league.
Here's look, who am I to push back on Carmelo Anthony? But here's the deal. I cannot push back. I can't argue. I'm not a debate guy anyway, but there's no arguing the potential numbers, right? That are there. The triple-double potential night in, night out. There's no arguing, like, stylistically he's similar to Jokic. I think he has to play. He's not an above the rim guy. He's not a back to the goal guy kind of deal like the old school centers. I mean, stylistically, I think his game is going to somewhat, you know, resemble Jokic, obviously. We know that. But when I said earlier about the Rockets, Luke, about how just everything looks so hard, and finally you get a guy like KD that makes it look easy, and I guess in my mind, even understanding everything you just said, when I watch Jokic, like, that's in that style, there's a Kevin Durant effortless in doing what he does. You know what I mean? It's almost like he's a man amongst boys. And when I watch the Rockets, no disrespect, not minimizing anything that he does, but I don't see a guy that exists in the NBA as effortless as the guys that are typically we reserve MVP conversations for. Am I crazy, or do you understand where I'm coming from? And do you think, I'm guessing everybody thinks he's going to take that next step, right, where all of a sudden it does look effortless. Is that the thought?
Yeah, I think so. I think by adding Durant, by running the offense through Şengün, that it is going to look different this year. And so far, look, it's only preseason, so you take it with a huge grain of salt. But I do think so far in preseason we've seen that, and this offense has looked a lot different, more efficient, smoother. Yeah, it was such a grind last year, the last 2 years at times. I think it has become a little easier on the offensive end and will be in the regular season. And it's, you know, it's interesting. I was talking with Seth yesterday on Payne and Pendergast about, you know, Fred VanVleet obviously is a huge loss. I think it's a huge loss. I think it knocks them down a little bit for this season. But it's almost like he was putting a positive spin. The glass half full look is almost a blessing in disguise long term. That the short term pain this year can lead to long term gain, in the sense of, not only will it give you an answer on Reed Shepard and Amen Thompson to see what they can do as potential point guards, but now I think this, I don't know if the Rockets would have gone this way with their offense if Fred VanVleet was still the point guard running things, but now almost by necessity, you have to run the offense more through Şengün in the high post, and that will allow him to add another element to his game, or at least allow the Rockets to exploit another skill, another aspect of his skill set. So I would much prefer to have Fred VanVleet out there, but it's almost, it could be a blessing in disguise in the sense of this helps Şengün get to that next level, helps develop him even further, and by doing so, helps this offense become better and, to use that word, hopefully more effortless this year than what we saw in the past.
Well, I tell you, I really waffled last year on Fred VanVleet, but that's the casual NBA fan that I am, is I'm going to waffle like hell. I'm going to be hot and cold, right? I'm not going to be a baseball guy that's going to take it. Every game means something to me, Dan, but I don't like it's a long season right? So I really waffled on Fred VanVleet. And look, I respect the hell out of what he did in the playoffs last year when we needed him the most, man. You talk about, he showed a true championship, you know, champion mentality and going out there and lit it up. I think I may like this team better without him. You know, I don't know how we fare because I do think it's like the old quarterback, right? I mean, there's going to be times in the season and times really probably in every game and definitely in the big games where you need that ball dominant player that can distribute and can control the tempo of the game.
Yeah.
And I think we will miss that in a big way. But, man, if this team can get up and down the way that we think they're going to get up and down and defend the way that we think they can defend, I mean, the shooting that you so desperately needed when Fred VanVleet stood up last year in the playoffs, you're not, as long as KD's healthy, you're not going to need it to that degree. And so I think as an Astros fan, hate to see the injury, wish we had him, no question about it. But I don't know that, you know, mid-season and late season, the version of the Rockets at that point, I'm not going to appreciate significantly more.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think it could be more fun to watch for sure. Yeah, this version of the Rockets. I would much rather have Fred out there, but now this allows you to lean into some of those other strengths, and that can be being more athletic and running the floor with Amen Thompson, having the even bigger lineup out on the floor, and then running your offense through Şengün. And for all we know, that could be an even better version of the Rockets than whatever they were planning on doing originally with Fred VanVleet.
What is that? Let's say Fred VanVleet wasn't hurt. What does the starting lineup look like? Obviously not the double big, but what does the starting lineup look like to you?
I would say him, Durant, Jabari, Alpi, and Amen. Amen. Would have been my five.
So now who's it going to be without the double? When they don't go double big, who's...
When they don't go double big. Yeah, that's a good question. I would say... Same lineup, just replace Fred with, I would say, Reed Shepard, me personally, if you're not going with that really big lineup, and have Reed Shepard try to be your quote unquote point guard.
We got to circle back to that. And we will later in the show. That's after watching a little bit last night, that's a conversation that we need to have. By the way, there's several reasons why I love doing radio with Luke Morrow. But the phrases, the one-liners are absolutely tremendous. I can't let that. I can't let the short-term pain, long-term gain. I can't. That is. I've heard that before, but it's not something that's stuck in my head. So I greatly appreciate when you bring those back around, and I can actually write them down this time, so I can think about them. That was really good. Short-term pain for long-term gain. Gain. Hopefully that is.
Yeah.
Hopefully we're talking about by mid-season and not 2 or 3 years from now. But we.
That's right.
We shall see. All right. Stock up, stock down. College football edition is next, y'all. And I've got arguably the best story in college football that you might not know about. You damn sure don't know the details. That's next right here on Sports Radio 6TM.
Tootski, come on. Mm-hmm.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
Every football season brings highs.
Yes! Rock and roll!
And lows.
Every week, though, there's no excuse for that.
Oh, no.
It's time to buy or sell.
I tell him to sell!
It's Texans Stock Up, Stock Down on The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
I'm going to pump those numbers up. Those are rookie numbers in this racket.
You're damn right. Every hump day on Houston's number one afternoon drive sports talk program. That'd be this one you're treating your ears to right now, The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. We do a little Stock Up, Stock Down, our best Wolf of Wall Street impressions. And I want to start with you first this week, Clint Sterner. This week's edition of Stock Up, Stock Down is college football. And if you folks did not know, my Aggies and Clint's Piggies, them Hogs, they got a matchup in Fayetteville on Saturday, I believe at about 2:30 p.m. for kickoff. But I want to start with you, Clint. Stock up, stock down around the world of college football right now this week. I assume your stock down will be the Hogs having to play the Aggies, but what's your stock down?
No. Our stock is about as low as it can get. You want stock down or stock up?
Stock
I'm sorry,
down.
I talked over you.
No, you're good.
I'm going to go with Boss Man's Auburn Tigers, man. You freeze. I mean, I don't follow Auburn.
Eagles.
I don't. Are they?
I can't.
They do have a low. They
war
do.
Eagle,
they do have
Tigers.
They're Tigers, but their chant is their war hymn, if you will, is an eagle, and I believe it's that's one of the coolest things in college football, though. By the way, too bad they can't win games to make it. They let the world watch it every week. That eagle flying down and landing.
Oh yeah,
that's solid, man. Right now, the Auburn Tigers are 3-3, and Jackson Darnold, Jackson Arnold, who was at one point a five-star, was at Oklahoma, transferred to Auburn. You know, sometimes that works out, sometimes it doesn't. It's not been all it was cracked up to be with the Jackson Arnold marriage to Hugh Freeze. Hugh Freeze being an offensive-minded head coach, really one of the better offensive-minded coaches out there. I thought this was going to be a match made in heaven. I thought Auburn was going to be back, I'll be honest with you. I thought they were going to be back. A couple of the SEC powerhouses are down. It was an opportunity, I thought, for somebody else to kind of arrive. And I thought that could be Auburn. And I think bigger picture here, stock down for me, is talking to Boss Man yesterday. I think he's in the fire Hugh Freeze. Get him the hell up out of town ASAP. I think he's in that crowd. And what makes that interesting to me is, you know, Hugh Freeze had this plan, and I don't know all the details, but I'm very interested in NIL and transfer portal plans. And there apparently was, like, Hugh Freeze's kind of approach to the NIL stuff was to kind of rat hole some money, develop some younger players for a year or two, and then make a big splash and go like bolster a roster that you've developed with guys that you paid for, that you bring in these former 4 and 5 stars, and boy, you just take off. So I was overly patient with Hugh Freeze is where I'm going. And now to see 3-3, Boss Man not happy, I got to say the stock is down on Hugh Freeze, and I thought it was going to be high. I thought we were going to be singing a different song about Auburn, man. Hate to say it, but my stock down is Hugh Freeze and the Auburn Tigers.
Yeah, I'm with. I really like that hire. I was a fan of Hugh Freeze despite the off the field stuff, but for sure, I'm with you on this whole stock down. Hasn't had a winning season in 3 years. Only 5-14 in the SEC. It's bad. So yeah, that seat is certainly heating up for him.
Well, you know, the thought of, like, be patient because I got this plan. So you don't even worry about the record in first year. You don't even worry about Fair. And then all of a sudden you go, wait a minute, this plan's not going to work out the way you thought it was. So now let's bring them first two season records back into this mix.
But yeah, also nowadays, like, just there's not as much pay. Used to be give a guy 3 to 4 years to turn the program around. Yeah. But nowadays with the money and everything, it's like, let's win right now. What are we waiting for?
You better get back on them 1-900 numbers again on that credit, on that school credit card or whatever you're doing at Ole Miss.
Yeah, Aggies, we're hearing that patience talk. Be patient for a long old time with old Jimbo Fisher. Some bitch. But there's Sterner stock down. It is stock up, stock down here on The Drive every Wednesday right around 3:20. Sterner laid out his stock down around the world of college football. It's Auburn, them Auburn Eagles, Tigers, whatever the hell those losers are. Over to you, Luke. What is your stock down, sir, around college football right now?
Jimbo Fisher. No, I'm kidding. I'm going to pander here a little bit. I'll say Bill O'Brien for stock down.
Oh,
because I know how much he's so beloved in these parts. Started off really good at Boston College last year, and then they end up losing 5 of their last 8. But even worse, this year they're 1-5. The one victory was against Fordham. So they're really 0-5 against FBS competition.
He said Fordham, not Florida.
Yeah, Fordham. Yeah. And so they're 0-5 against FBS competition, and they lost by 40 points 2 weeks ago. They lost by 30-plus points this past week. He's an offensive guy, and yet they have a bottom-five rushing attack in the country. And Reese Davis called them a called Boston College a mess on College Game Day this weekend. So it is not going well. Funny enough, they're mentioning Bill O'Brien still to return to Penn State and replace James Franklin.
That can't be real.
There's some rumors of that at least. But,
I mean, I hope they do. I be honest with you, I hope I'm not a Penn State guy for whatever reason. I do have a it's not healthy. It's not fair.
I mean, if Petrino can return to the Hogs.
Come on, man.
It's true.
Keep my Hogs out of your
mouth. I'm just saying, that is a wild-ass story we need to dive into at some point this week.
You can always go back home.
We got them stock downs, them negatives out of the way. You're listening to The Drive, Sterner and Hughley, stock up, stock down, college football edition. Now we move on to those stock ups. Who around the world of college football has that arrow pointing up in the stock market in your eyes, Mr. Luke Morrow?
I'm going to take the low-hanging fruit and say Kurt Cignetti for Indiana, because I think Saturday was the biggest win in program history. Just the second time Indiana's ever beaten a ranked team on the road. They're not a football school, and yet he's turned them into a football school in less than a year and a half. They have 0 5 stars on the roster. They have less talent based off of the recruiting rankings than even the aforementioned Boston College. They're ranked 72nd, Indiana is, in the country for talent based off of recruiting rankings. And yet, they just did something last year's national champ couldn't do. Ohio State lost at Oregon last year. Indiana went to Oregon and won by double digits. They're a legitimate national title contender. And I think it is, I've been thinking about this all week, I think this is the best coaching job I've ever seen in my lifetime in college football. At least Nick Saban, like, you know, you had Bear Bryant previously at Alabama. You know, for Colorado there in the early 90s, they had some success prior. You know, Bill Snyder did a great job at Kansas State, but was never really in the national championship conversation like Indiana is now. I think Kurt Cignetti, I think what we've seen the last year and a half is the most impressive thing I've seen from a college football coach in the last, you know, in 35 plus years.
I think it's fair. I think it's fair. Now what does he do? Does he shock the world and stay at Indiana, or is he that is a legit Penn State, I would think, target, the number one target, are they able to go get him and bring him back? Or not bring him back, but bring him to Happy Valley. That would be – I love Kurt Cignetti. I mean, look, I like him. I like a story like that anyway. Yeah. But then when he sat down with us at the Bear Bryant Awards a couple years ago, I guess it was last year, you can't help but like the dude. I mean, it's a weird older white guy, straight-laced, when he walks up, and then all of a sudden he sits down and he's got some swag and some juice, and you're like, whoa, wait a minute, where'd that come from?
Where's he going, Finn?
You can understand how he can do it all. He can appeal to the masses, but – yeah, that's a good one, man.
Would not surprise me if that move happened, him heading up to Penn State. That's Luke's stock up. Put a lid, a cap on this thing for us. Clint Sterner, Dirty Red, your stock up in the world of college football right now as we stand.
Well, this is not only stock up. This is an amazing story going on in college football that you may or may not know about. Trinidad Chambliss, he is the Ole Miss quarterback, and he's got the Rebels. He's quarterbacked the Rebels to 6-0. He's got 7 passing touchdowns, almost 1,300 yards through the air. He's got 3 rushing touchdowns and almost 300 yards on the ground. True dual threat guy, a little bit undersized, but his story is absolutely tremendous. He was the backup. They had the starter was I can't remember the kid's name, but they had a starter that was a bigger armed, faster, you know, a higher star rating and all that, gets injured, and this quarterback, Trinidad Chambliss, comes in. And is lighting college football on fire in Lane Kiffin's offense at Ole Miss. But the story is, you know, he came from Division II. He transferred in from Division II. He quarterbacked Ferris State to a national championship. I think it was their third national championship in 4 years. And he put up big numbers there. Was on that level because he didn't. I don't think he played a ton in high school. He is an undersized guy, and he got a chance to come to the Division I level and ends up at Ole Miss and ends up playing early. I think it was week 1 or week 2. I can't remember when the quarterback got injured, but I know he played against and beat my Arkansas Razorbacks and lit us the hell up through the air and on the ground. But if you get a chance to watch this kid play, man, and hopefully he can keep this run alive for the Rebels and the undefeated run and get to the college football playoffs. And he's one of those guys that isn't the biggest, fastest, strongest guy, but an opportunity landed at his feet, and he is literally taking the bull by the horns and playing some lights out quarterback right now, man. And what a story! If he could take Division II Ferris State to a national title, I think he finished 3rd in the Harlan Hill Award, which is the Heisman Trophy for Division II football, and then transfers to D1, and if he can he take a team, even if he can just take a team to the SEC championship or even to the college football playoffs, it's a hell of a story. And he is a blast to watch as well. I mean, the dude can go through the air and on the ground.
Hey, Lane Kiffin, you know, Matt Corral, Jackson Dart. Now this kid, he's good with offense, good with quarterbacks.
It's wild, isn't it? I mean, it's year after year, man, and he's playing uphill because Ole Miss, contrary to popular belief, Ole Miss does not have the Jimmys and Joes that they take the field with every Sunday that some of these other SEC teams and Big Ten teams have as well. All right, the Astros, they got two Gold Glove finalists. It's been announced, y'all, and I'm happy for the boys. I'm happy for the boys, but look, I don't ever want to hear this stuff about this Gold Glove stuff meaning anything significant moving forward. Some of y'all need to apologize, damn it. I know my boy Ron took some heat. We'll tell you which Astros have been finalists, and we'll cuss and discuss that right there next on Sports Radio 610.
I can't say that I'm not going to ride a motorcycle again.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
My boy Bobby.
Had to do it.
I'm going to tell you, that it's a strong, strong word. I mean, it's a feeling. I don't know that I've ever hated anybody the way I hated Bobby when he did that.
Oh, I believe it.
And I'm not even a rabid fan, if you will. I remember topping that hill in Fayetteville thinking, man.
It's loose gravel, man.
It wasn't no loose gravel. I think she was driving, by the way.
Yeah, you've told me that theory, and it's a damn interesting one.
Man, the first time after that happened, I topped that hill and saw that. If you've ever been driven to Fayetteville, man, you top that hill in the mountains up there, man, and you top the hill and you're looking down at the whole university, the baseball field, football. You can see it all right when you come over the top of that hill on the highway. Oh. Hey, man, my heart just, I mean, I was just like, F you, Bobby, you piece of. Oh, boy, I was. Whew. But he's back, baby. He is back. He's back.
If there are not some students in the student section at this damn Aggie Arkansas game on Saturday that are not all wearing some sort of like neck brace thing as a way to get themselves on television, I'm going to be disappointed.
I'm telling you, that's not going to happen. Maybe you're talking about your guys?
No.
No, there ain't nobody in Arkansas. Hell no. We're glad to have his ass back.
No, it's just fun.
We were on top of the damn world. When, I mean, that sucker had Mallett in the BCS Bowl and Tyler Wilson ranked number 4 in the preseason before the wheels come off.
Your fellow Razorback Hall of Famer.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was, boy, I tell you what, I don't know if anybody's going to fit that job better than Bobby, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. Aggies Razorbacks this Saturday at 2:30. 2:15,
yes, 2:30. The ass whooping will begin.
Another one of those games where if the Aggies want to be taken serious, they cannot afford to lose this one.
Facts.
It is not going to be an environment that's going to be just difficult to play in. But I'm going to tell you what you do got to deal with is Taylen Green and Bobby Petrino. They can hang half a hundred on you if you mess around and let them. And they can be hard to keep up with. But with our defense,
whew, you ever watch Bobby?
Over. The over is still the bet, Arkansas. I don't even know what it is. I bet it's lower. The number's probably lower now than it was back when we talked about it last time, Tyler. But book that sumbuck right now and let me get 100 on it. MLB announces the Rawlings Gold Glove finalist. The winners will be announced on ESPN at 7:30 p.m. Central Time, Sunday, November the 2nd. And the Astros, we have two finalists on this list. All right, Mauricio Dubon seeking his second Gold Glove at that utility spot. Second in a row, right? He won it last year, didn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
And this one surprises me a bit. I mean, Cam Smith is seeking his first Gold Glove in right field.
Oh, Cam.
And I'm going to get to Cam, and I'm going to circle back to where some of y'all need to apologize to my boy Ron. But let's talk about Dubon. One of my favorite Astros, by the way. Is that strong? Is that strong, Tyler? One of my favorite Astros?
No. I feel like he's a fan favorite. He brings his game wherever he's playing. Yeah, I like it.
I feel like given our center field situation, not necessarily this year when Jake was healthy, but previous years, and I feel like our left and right field situation, if we're being honest, over the last couple of years, I'm shocked that Mauricio Dubon did not find a way to start and be an everyday starter. I mean, I get the super utility guy, but boy, having the super utility guy at your fingertips when it outweighs a starting player starting every day and playing, that is a hard traditional baseball reality that's hard for me to wrap my head around a lot of times, Luke, if I'm being honest. But Mauricio Dubon is one of the most versatile defenders in Major League Baseball. He ranked third among AL players in outs above average with 19. You care to define off the cuff outs above average? Do you have that one?
Compared to the average player, how many more outs they can give you in the field.
Okay, there you go.
That's my best explanation.
So he was third among AL players in outs above average with 19 of them, by the way. First Astro player in history to start at seven different positions in consecutive seasons.
Oh, wow.
That's hard to do.
Yeah.
What can you name them all?
Well, everything except pitcher and catcher, right?
I guess there's nine, right? So he didn't catch. He did not catch. Did he pitch, though? No, that was White Boy Chaz. Yeah. Right? That was Chaz McCormick.
They care too much about
Artist
Dubon to put
known
him on.
As White Boy Chaz.
They don't want to put Dubon on the mound. They care too much about him, unlike Chaz. They probably should have tried him at catcher, though, with how bad the catcher position was defensively this year.
That may be question of the year. I teed that one up for you, Luke. He started seven different positions. Can you name all seven? Yeah, you idiot. Everywhere but catcher and pitcher.
I feel confident
pitcher.
About this one.
That is great. You think he wins that one? You think Mauricio Dubon wins that one again? I mean, seven starting seven positions again.
Yeah.
I mean, damn, who was more utility than that?
I know, it's a good question. And just to clean myself up, the first time he won the award was 2 years ago, not last year. But
he didn't win last year?
No.
Yeah, that's my bad.
He might have been a finalist
last year.
Yeah, 2 years ago. He might have been a finalist last year. I'd have no problem with him getting the award. I think he's worthy, and he's great to have as a utility guy. I think there's a ceiling to his ability. You know, I don't know if I want him as the everyday second baseman or shortstop or something, but, yeah, he's the perfect utility guy to have.
All right, and that brings us to where we got to have a conversation. Tyler, I know you, Luke, you may not be familiar with this, but there was a good bit. There was a good while when we were not real high on Jake Meyers.
Oh, I'm familiar.
And while I'm glad that the organization, at this point, I'm glad the organization was patient. There was a good run of about 2 years where being a finalist for a gold glove was about what a lot of the Jake Meyers defenders could hang their hat on.
I screwed it up.
And I'll be honest with you, I thought it was a big deal. I downplayed it just to win the argument, but I thought it was a big deal. But I'm going to tell you, Luke, I'm happy for my boy. If Cam Smith is a finalist for a gold glove in right field at this point right now,
uh-huh,
then, I mean, are we serious with this award?
He was a really good right fielder.
I mean, he was a good right fielder, sure. But, I mean, half the year we were talking about how, I mean, his ability to play balls near the wall and his ability to get jumps and his ability. Now, he was good for him, but I didn't realize he was one of the best defensive right fielders in the game.
I think it's more of an indictment on the rest of the league, which maybe speaks to your point. I think Cam Smith played a really good right field. I think it's something that, like, this rookie who's learning the position for the first time, the fact that he was one of the best right fielders statistically speaks more to, like, what are the rest of you right fielders doing?
Well, but Luke, he wasn't even in the starting lineup much late in the season.
Yeah, no,
I mean, the longer the season went on, I mean, you traded for a guy. I mean, you were playing. I mean, I understand the left-right thing, and that's another baseball, what am I looking for? One of those old-school traditional ways of coaching and setting up lineups and everything, this righty-lefty thing. But, I mean, he wasn't even good enough or thought to be good enough to be an everyday starter in right field down the stretch, and all of a sudden he's a finalist for a gold glove. Like you said, I guess the rest of the league wasn't very good. So, but anyway, all you everybody out there that literally clung to Jake Meyers being a finalist for a gold glove for 2 years straight, and came at my boy Ron the show sideways. I think you're more full of bull today than I thought then.
Yeah, I mean, well, for
was that Patrick Creighton, by the way? Was that Creighton that always came at? Who was it?
It was.
Really?
I think it was PC.
PC, yep.
I think PC, and he really threw around that gold glove finalist kind of deal, and so much so to where I think Ron called him the bronze glove.
Bronze glove
center fielder.
Be cautious with Creighton.
I heard that.
Tonight.
Look, the Gold Glove Award to begin with, I don't know what PC's thoughts or comments were, but it is flawed and it's overrated to begin with. I mean, Rafael Palmeiro won a Gold Glove as a DH in the 90s. He played 25 games at first base and won the award. It's a silly award.
What did
you
say?
Yeah, Rafael Palmeiro won the Gold Glove for first baseman, even though he only played 25 games. He was the DH all year.
I did not know that.
I guess the other 137 didn't matter. Games don't matter.
Right. So it's a flawed award. It's a silly award in a lot of aspects because also defense, we've gotten better nowadays than in the past, but defense in baseball is just hard to truly judge or try to compare one guy to the other or put stats to it. But I think my whole thing with the Cam Smith thing is good for him. I thought he played a good right field. I just think it's irrelevant. And I've seen a lot of Astro fans take this victory lap on social media or use it, even throughout the year, of bragging about how good Cam Smith is or going to be because of how good of a right field he played. I just think defense in baseball is vastly overrated. I mean,
I've never been more in love with Luke. I love Luke.
The greatest Astro of all time, Jose Altuve, is your worst fielder.
We can't find a spot
right
for you.
your best hitter on the team right now, Yordan, you don't want him in the field.
really happy.
The two biggest free agents this offseason, Kyle Schwarber does not play the field, and Peter Alonso was graded as the second worst first baseman this year defensively. So this whole idea of like, man, great for Cam Smith, what a great year, he's the Gold Glover, yada yada yada, it's all irrelevant. He didn't do enough offensively. I'm glad he's a good right fielder. You're not the number one prospect in baseball, or you don't make that trade just because, like, he plays a good right field. It's more about the offense. So good for him on being nominated, and I'm glad he can play the position well, and he learned it quickly. But I've just seen too many Astro fans hang their hat or brag about it or, you know, use it as some sort of indication about how great Cam Smith already is or he's going to be the superstar. It's more about the bat. To me, the defense is mostly irrelevant for these guys.
Well, look, to be clear, I'm a Cam Smith fan, and I agree. I enjoyed watching him play right field. I thought he played a good right field. But being a casual MLB fan that's not a historian of the game and can't define all the advanced stats, like when I heard somebody was a Gold Glove, I just said, hey, that sucker right there can go. That's the best the game has to offer. Not a guy that because he doesn't bat left-handed, gets yanked out of the lineup for – 30% of the games down the stretch. I mean, so anyway, Ron Hughley has never been more accurate on that bronze glove that he just is so disrespectful to Jake Myers on. But he was if he's here today, he'd be giving him bronze gloves away. But all right, look, Kevin Durant's got me watching preseason NBA action. I don't know what this world's come to, but I am stoked to be here. But I'm going to be honest with you. We've talked today multiple times about the Rockets. This one right here, we hadn't hit this cat yet. I just don't see this Rocket being much of a factor this season. I don't see it when I watch the Rockets. It doesn't jump off the court for me. I got to see if Luke agrees, disagrees, shares the same concern. We'll do all that next right here on Sports Radio 610.